Remember what our Lord has done from us and how far he's brought us and just the price that he paid. And what a great way to remember. I was sharing with a couple people that we remember often a lot of things in our life, and a lot of them are not so good. Sometimes we let them drag us down, if you will, and other things that are good that we also choose to remember as we go on throughout our life, but there's nothing in comparison to what Christ has done for us. Would you agree? There's nothing. There's not even anything in comparison to what Christ did on the cross. And so what a great way to remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's encouraging. My wife was sharing with me, it's encouraging. So I'm talking about spiritual warfare today, and she reminded me, she got a word from the Lord, which I'll probably butcher it, but I will certainly try, just how we grow ourselves when we participate in remembering the things, what the Lord has done. It causes us to grow. It causes our faith to be strengthened, and our joy and everything to be much greater. Amen? I don't know about you, but I walked away from that feeling that much more empowered, that much more full of joy and strengthened to do the things that he's called me to do. All right. Well, this morning, this is funny because I have roughly 45 minutes. I'm just going to trust God with it, let him take it wherever it goes. The other night I had like 13 minutes down at youth. We went so long in worship, and so quite a difference there. Not that 45 is a ton, but 13 certainly is not very long, 13 minutes to speak of the greatness of God. So I'm going to start off with prayer, and I'm just going to listen to the voice of God and take it where I believe he's guiding us to go. So if you'll join me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful to be in your presence today to remember, Jesus, of the great sacrifice that you gave for us, though we're not worthy. Heavenly Father, you look at us through the blood of your Son. And today we acknowledge that again. We remember it and we say thank you. We say thank you for your love. The song says, forever I am changed by your love. And I thank you for that continual ongoing process, God. I thank you, Lord, that you have empowered us and you continually empower us to fulfill your will, to walk out, God, the things that you have planned, not just for us, but for your body and for your kingdom. So today, Father, I long to hear your voice, long to go in the direction that you desire. Let these not be my words, Lord. Let them be yours, and let them fall upon hearts that have soil that are ready to receive, God. And we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to start off by, I believe, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Something happened recently in my life, and I had this ongoing, in-house conflict, you might say. Who has those? You live with somebody other than yourself, or even if you don't, to where you always have an opportunity to not agree. Anybody ever had one of those? Huh? Two, three, okay. My wife's going like this. Wish there was a camera here. She's going, I have. Okay, great. But we always, every day, day in and day out, we have opportunities to butt heads with others, believers and non-believers. We have every opportunity to disagree. And God's made us that way. You know, you don't always think of that in the moment. But today I'm going to share some stuff with you that it's encouraged me. So I'm going to pray, believe, and hope that you will be encouraged as well. So I've had something happen in my life where, let's just say I had several ongoing opportunities to disagree with a certain person. and more specifically, one of my sons. And I will stop there, though. But we were in this, engaged in this just about this battle of words, just about where it was, you know, trying to be the dad and the man of the house, and him trying to tell me what he thought and how he didn't agree or whatever. And I mean, it's happened. It's nothing new. Welcome to parenting, right? So I mean, a lot of you are very familiar with this. But something was said in the middle of this disagreement, I guess. You know, sometimes I have a hot head and I'm like, you know, this is how it is and that's it. And I think sometimes sometimes that's very appropriate. And other times it's just as appropriate to hear what they're saying and to listen and to know where they're coming from and try to see their heart in the matter. That's one thing I've been blessed with, my lovely wife and my awesome pastor, God's used them to show me to be sensitive to the spirit and to look past the natural into the heart. To look past what the facade or what I can see directly in front of me and try to get deeper than that. And in this case, it wasn't so hard to do that. Something was said about, something was said about being, yeah, you think I'm the devil and you got, you know, these Bibles and, you know, just random. I mean, we weren't even talking anything about church nor God. We were talking about some choices that were made and the consequence of them. And that came out of nowhere. And so I stopped. I'm like, honey, did you hear that? You know, wait a minute. He just blurted this out of nowhere. And right away, and God had already laid on my heart this 2 Corinthians and Ephesians, the armor of God and different things. And so, but right away, I mean, it was dead in my face, so obvious what was happening. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it's not so obvious. Sometimes we are not sensitive, and we don't want to be, because it's easy to get caught up in the moment. And to react, and to live for that exact moment and deal with whatever consequences, good or bad, later on. So, in that moment, I immediately, the thing is, in my heart and in our hearts, we oftentimes know already. It's just, again, living in that moment, we're not able to look past that particular situation. So I knew, and it caused me to... It caused me to pray. It caused me to go to the scriptures and realize that just like it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 3, we are human, but we don't wage war with human plans and methods. We use God's mighty weapons, not mere worldly weapons, to knock down the devil's strongholds. With these weapons, we break down every proud argument that keeps people from knowing God. With these weapons, we conquer their rebellious ideas, and we teach them to obey Christ. And we will punish those who remain, that's me to my son, I'll punish him, remains disobedient. I'm joking, but what it's telling me here is that, yes, though we live in this world, and a lot of times we have... disagreements with others, that's not the real war. Amen? I mean, okay, that's not the real war, but what do you mean? It's right in front of me. It's going on right now. This person just called me this, or they just did that, and I see what they're doing. I know what they're up to. And so that, you know, so then things begin to cultivate. And however, God is saying, don't look with your natural eyesight. He needs you to look past that and look at the promises. Look at the fact that his son died on the cross. Look at those the words in the Bible that are encouraging to us and keep us going strong. And if we go to Ephesians chapter 6, it says... A final word, be strong with the Lord's mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies and tricks of the devil. So, Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, be strong with the Lord's mighty power. So that right there, starting off, tells me that we, on our own, are nothing. We need the strength of God to get us by. It's funny that he starts out this particular thought, a final word, be strong with the Lord's mighty power. Right away, the author is letting us know that we alone do not have what it takes to be strong, that we need God's mighty power. It goes on to say, put on all of God's armor so that you will, whose armor? God's armor, so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies and tricks of the devil. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule in this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. See, although we are assured victory, we must engage until Christ returns. Although we are assured as children of God, as bought, paid, and purchased through the blood of Christ, we have to engage in this warfare. We cannot just sit back and expect everything to go hunky-dory. We cannot just sit back, amen, and expect everything to go the way that we want it, which a lot of times could be a thank you, Lord, because the way we want it is not how it should be. But we cannot just sit back and hope that everything will just pan itself out. We have to engage. We have to put on the armor of God. Because in 1 Peter, he talks about, first he starts off with pride, which I see a lot of times. I was driving down the road after this incident happened, and the Lord was speaking to me, and he told me, pride. Pride is what gets in the middle of this equation. It's pride. When you cannot look past that moment, when you cannot see and believe the promises of God that say that I have victory in Christ and that this is a temporary situation and I'm an eternal being, when you can't do that, it's because pride has got you. Or rather, you have pride. And we all know the Bible says many things about pride. But in 1 Peter, he says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Goes on to tell us to remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over are dealing and going through the same kind of suffering. But he's telling us, he's giving us a picture that the devil is like this roaring lion. I don't know a lot, but I watch Nat Geo every once in a while. That's the new term for National Geographic. I think I have the right to that term, Nat Geo. 5'8", well, that's 5'5 through 11. But National Geographic, I don't watch much of it. I'm an MMA guy, so I love MMA. I know the lion, his roar is like, that's like roar. He's letting you know I'm here and I'm in charge. And I'm going to do, he's marking his territory. And you can hear it through that whole area. You can hear that thing. And for those animals that are inferior, they are scared, aren't they? Just by the sound, just the mere sound, right? They are terrified. And that's what he's doing here, because if you're like me, I have actually and technically read through the whole Bible, and so I know the end, I know the ending, and I know that we win, amen? Right? I know the ending, we win. So that roar is a roar, and it is a very temporary roar. And though I will not try to mislead you and tell you that the devil is not dangerous. Now, if we're under the blood, we are protected. We are God's children, and we shall not fear. I will say this, though. You give the devil an inch, he will take a million miles. I've personally experienced it, and I'm sure many of you have, if not all of you. If you give him an inch, he will run with it. So he's roaring like a lion. He's trying to cast this fear, and he's looking as he roars. He's waiting to see, who can I devour? Who is next? And oftentimes, it's our own actions. Wrong. It's our own actions all the time that gives him that ability, that gives him that entrance into our life. So he's looking. Who's not covered by the blood? Who's not covered by the blood? Because you know what? Jesus is up in heaven, and he's constantly interceding for us to the Father on our behalf for those who walk in the righteousness of Christ. And the devil has to, I'm just painting this picture. I don't know how far off I'm getting, but the devil has to have permission at the same time, which throws a lot of people off. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why? Well, look, I'm not going to try to explain why God does everything he does, because he's God and I'm not. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. And I can't do it, nor can you. We cannot explain why God makes the decisions he makes. But we can trust him. We can cast all our cares upon him. But Jesus is interceding, and he's constantly, if you will, at bat for us. I had somebody tell me this morning, I think it was Barb's, I got your back. That's Jesus. I've got your back. He's constantly at bat for us. And as the enemy is looking and wants to devour those who make themselves available to him, he must first go to the Lord. And he must first get permission. But I'm telling you, again, I have read the book. I know the ending, and we win. Sometimes, however, we need to be reminded, don't we? It's easy to forget. I mean, it's easy to get caught up in the moment.
Right.
Here are in Ephesians 6. It tells us to, so remember, we must engage, okay? We must engage. We cannot just sit back and hope things will go certain ways. Okay, so I'm MMA. Freakazoid fan, love it, sleep it, eat it, breathe it. I will watch a pay-per-view all by myself at home and love it. I don't need anybody to come over. I do enjoy, if you've been over to my house, I do enjoy that as well. Don't get me wrong. But I just as much could sit right there and be in the zone. Give me a rock star and MMA and I'm good. So I've been wanting to use this analogy for a while, how somebody, okay, MMA, somebody will train for months sometimes. I mean, if you're a fighter, you're constantly training. You take breaks occasionally, but you're constantly training. But for a particular fight, some guys will train as much as 3-4 months in advance. And that's day in and day out, up to 8 hours a day, if you can believe that, in training, in cardio, in jiu-jitsu, in boxing, and all these different mixed martial arts for a fight that sometimes lasts seconds. Yeah, seconds. At the very most, very, very most, 25 minutes. Which, when you're in that 25 minutes, that is, yeah, it's five-minute rounds is a long time. But they have to prepare themselves. They have to constantly be on guard and constantly use those tools that have been given to them. They have to create a game plan, and they have to stick to it. One thing I've noticed, when these guys get in the cage and say there's something that is their bread and butter, so to speak, we'll say wrestling, it's pretty common. Somebody's a wrestler, and they begin to practice another martial art, jiu-jitsu or judo or, say, boxing. And they go in the cage, and the first time that that person who's been who's a wrestler but practicing something else, the first time they get knocked a little silly, they instinctively go back to what they know, their bread and butter, which is, in that case, wrestling. So they'll automatically go back to what's brought them thus far. And I love this analogy because this is us, because we have to constantly be on guard. Always. Put on the armor of God, it says. And constantly be using these tools, which I'll share with you. Some of you know them and some of you may not. That's okay. We'll get them out there and talk about them for a minute. But when you have a game plan and the first time that something comes your way you didn't expect, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to go to default mode. I remember Pastor Darren would use default mode. And that's what you knew prior to that event. That's what you knew. And some of us, I mean, okay, no. We're all learning, right? This is an everyday grind that we're in. It's an everyday grind. We are, and what's so cool about this everyday grind as being a Christian, a Christ follower, is that we've got Christ, the one whom we follow, at bat for us constantly. That's just crazy. I love that. That itself is enough to give me confidence and hope. But a lot of times we'll go to our default mode, which is, say, something that we practice for X amount of years, and it's something we have to work it out, right? With fear and trembling. We gotta work it out. We gotta trust God to get those particular behaviors and mindsets and thought patterns out of us. Well, we are not going to do that. We are going to do that by renewing our mind, but it's Christ who gets all the glory. Don't ever forget that. We've come a long ways, but we've got a long ways to go, right? We've come a long ways, but we've got a long ways to go, especially when we're looking at the goal and the standard, which is God, which is perfect, which is righteous, which is holy, okay? We got a long ways to go, but we can rejoice and be thankful in our victories as they come and make sure that we pinpoint the source, which is God. Must be speaking about something you guys are, no? Yeah? Okay. Yeah. I figured that. I could tell. They're like, but it happens, right? God. God obviously knows more than we do. So we have to break those mindsets. We have to trust Christ. And one thing I've been learning, and Pastor Mike's been encouraging me, and God's just been laid, is to rest in Him and to don't try to do it all. You can't. You won't. You'll fail, actually, miserably often when you try to be the one to do it all. Because then who gets a credit if you do it all? You do. And we ain't here for you. We're here for Him. I'm not here for me. So these mindsets, these thoughts, these habits, these things that we know, they need to go. And they come, right? And you could be 20, you could be 80, it doesn't matter. You're always going to have to be renewed. You're constantly going to have to be renewed until we go to be with Jesus. And then after that, we'll figure that out when we get there. But the one thing we do is as soon as something happens, a lot of you, some of you might be MMA fans, I don't know, but like I said, when they get hit, let's say they get hit and they get knocked a little silly for a moment, they're going to go back to their bread and butter. They're going to go back to what they knew, what has worked for them for years. But is it going to work now? Is it going to work now? No, it's not. Because remember, we're resting and trusting in Christ. We have the armor of God. Put on God's armor, not ours. We're not protecting us. He's protecting us. But we've got to rest in Him and trust in Him. Amen? So, and I talked about this last time, that we oftentimes, you know, we get hands up. Oh my gosh, why is this happening? But we have to look with spiritual eyes and see into, by faith, literally into the future and see that we've got the victory, that we don't need to try to have all the answers. We have the answer. We don't need all the answers. We have the answer. We don't have to lose it every time something happens. Because things every single day, my friends, are going to happen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, trust me. Things will happen. You will always have opportunities to go back to that default mode. Always. But remember, it's God's armor. It's not ours. We get to use it. We get to trust him. We get to be strengthened by him. Not our strength, but his strength. The very first thing that he said. The very first thing that he said was, right here, be strong with the Lord's mighty power. Then it says, with God's armor. And it goes on. So remember, who is it about? It's not about us, okay? So he goes on to speak of this armor of God. Use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after the battle you will be standing firm. Amen. Standing firm. Verse 14. Ephesians 6, verse 14. Stand your ground, putting on the sturdy belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. Now, if you're wondering, I'm in the New Living Translation. I like to go between all of the translations, or most of them, but I tend to navigate towards this one right now. I started off in, when I first started studying the Bible, I started off in the New King James, and I did that for years, and I still use it a lot. And even the King James, Mike Gobb says amen. But I navigate towards the NLT right now, but I still like to go between them all. I did not used to like Gene Peterson at all. Eugene Peterson. Not him personally, but his translation, or that translation, The Message. I didn't, but in balance with other translations, I'm okay with it now. I think I'm able to rest in that. But so I am not saying it's bad, because that's only my opinion. Others will have the same, others will have different opinions. But it says to put on every piece, belt of truth, body armor of God's righteousness, shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. I love that, because that peace only comes through relationship with Christ. That peace is a supernatural peace that is not attainable by things, monetary things, anything here. It's not that kind of peace. It's a supernatural resting in God, knowing that, again, we have the victory. It's a peace that comes from knowing that these shoes of that we're talking about, of the good news, which is the birth, death, resurrection of Christ for our salvation. I don't know about you, but that brings me a lot of peace to know that not only do I have purpose here, but when I'm done on this earth, more purpose to go to. You know, it brings a lot of peace. Amen. So it says, so that you will be fully prepared. Verse 16, in every battle you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Remember that? Here's a pause, battlefield of the mind. He's constantly tossing these darts at you. Or if you're like, what do you got? A crossbow. Those are fun. Crossbow. I don't think he has a crossbow, though. He just has a little. But anyways, he's shooting these little darts. It says fiery darts, and he's tossing them at you. And they're going, bloop. They're going like this. Bloop. And what do you do with it? They're going, bloop. They're going right in there. Because then it's like, okay, the trap is set. What's going to happen, right? Right? A lot of times we think, like I used to think, oh man, I just messed up. I just thought of that. And oh, I would seriously walk with my head down for like a day or two or three or 4 hours and would be hardly even, not effective at all for my wife and my kids and the people here and people on the streets. And I was just like, because I had this thought, but I realized that he's constantly shooting them our way. He wants them to grab them. And they'll go, and he goes, okay. And he'll sit back and see, what are you going to do with them? What are we going to do? We're going to hold every thought to the captivity of the obedience of Christ. That means I'm going to put on my Jesus filter, And if it don't line up with the Word of God and what God wants me to do, then that thought is out the door that millisecond. And if I have to do that 100 times in a second, you better believe I'm going to do it. Because I am human and I am made imperfect because I have a perfect God. So I'm going to remember that as those come every time, I'm not bad. Well, we're all bad, really, but let's not go there. But I'm going to, when they come and they try to plant themselves in my brain and my thought process, I'm getting them out of there. And if that means I got to call somebody up, my pastor, a fellow brother in Christ, or for you sisters, a fellow sister in Christ, get out the word. I am not going to let those things plant and grow in my head because that's going to put me back to my default mode. Because if anybody knows your default, it's Satan, okay? He knows. He's no dummy. He is, but he's not. It's weird. It's like, yeah. Anyways, I'm just telling you, little food for thought there. Don't hang yourself up on thoughts, but do not entertain them. Understand that we are to hold every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Put on your Jesus filter. Amen? So that's your helmet of salvation. That protects your mind. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to withstand their attacks, we must depend on God's strength and use every piece of his armor. Every piece complements the other. They're all necessary. God's grace is sufficient. He's a big God. He knows us. He created us, and he knows what we'll do and what we won't do, but he wants us to use every piece of the armor, of his armor made available for us so that we can be successful, give him the glory. One thing I don't ever want to do, personally, and I am putting it out there, is I want to always be remembered that it's for him. Somebody asked me last week, I think it was Bill Cote, he said, how you doing? And I had, my week was, you know, by my carnal standards, it was like this. I'd had better weeks. I said, but you know what? I don't remember exactly what I said, but something along the lines of, God is good. I'm here. It's for his glory. I'm not going to focus on me. I'm thankful to be alive. I'm thankful to be purchased by the blood. Something along those lines. Maybe you don't remember. I hope you don't, because I probably didn't say nothing like that. But that was the point of it all. Those may be different words, but I meant all that. So I'm really good at that. So anyways, it's important for us to recognize that it's important for us to recognize that we belong to Christ all the time. He purchased us. We have declared that he is our king and that he knew who we are, what we do. He knows those things. He knows the things that will come before us. He knows the opportunities we'll have to grow, the opportunities, and that's what they all are, by the way, is opportunities to grow. Any opposition is an opportunity to grow. No matter how small or big it is, it's always an opportunity to grow. But he knows who we are. He created us. He loves us. He wants us to succeed. We have to understand the fight is not between husband and wife. It's not between neighbor and neighbor. It's not between father and child or mother and child. It's not between siblings. That's not the war. If any, that's the whole point of this today, is that is not our battle. As much as the enemy can get us to believe that and to buy into that, after all, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. And your neighbor is who? Everybody besides you. And we're to love. Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And it's not an easy thing to do. I don't know how God does it. I don't know how he loves me still. I believe and I know that he does, but I can't do it. And yet we're called to love. Then we need to renew our minds. Constantly, we need to renew our minds. This right here, to get out of that default mode, this will create you a new default mode right here. I don't care what you think. I'm telling you the truth. This is the truth. There's nothing else like it. This is the truth, the Word of God. And if you want to get out of that default mode, then you better get into the truth. If you want to get out of that default mode, obviously we need a relationship with Christ, and we need to pray, and when we pray, we need to listen. Hard to do, isn't it? It's hard to do. It's easy to talk. The Proverbs says, even says, that's interesting. Huh. So we need to renew our minds constantly. We need to understand that the battle is not between us here. That the war is between the devil and God, and he picked the fight, and we know who wins. He's damned eternally. He's done. So he's trying to rake in as many followers as he can. And unfortunately, the word says, many will. Many will. I'm not one of those many. I don't know about you. I'm not one of those many. And I want to recognize that. And I want to walk by the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, because they're contrary to one another. They oppose each other. You won't do both at the same time. And I ain't going to hell. But by the power invested in me through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, I'm going to bring as many as I can with me to heaven. Amen? I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do it with the armor of God. I'm going to do it because he's going to enlighten me through his word to understand and see that it's not my battle for the person who, whatever he's done. I'll just share a couple things with you, and it ain't about me, okay? I'm just going to share. I've been sexually molested as a kid multiple times by a very close relative. I've been burned and lost 9 of my toes, had like a 90% chance of living when I was 1 year old. Grew up in a drug house, didn't know my dad until I was much older in my life, and even then I could give you all the reasons in the world. All the opposition that I've been through, right? But at the end of the day, he's brought me through all that. And I know many of you can say that and more for your own lives. We all have testimonies, okay? I understand that. But I'm telling you that God, his love is so great that I don't have to look at those people that have done those things to me in my life and look for revenge. I don't worry about that, because it's not my battle. It is not my battle. God is the one. God is at bat. God is the one who is... The enemy is waging war, because if he can get us distracted with each other, he's got you. If he can get you distracted with the dislikes or the disagreements of one another, no matter how small or large, no matter how legitimate you say they are, he's got you. Remember that. And we are residents of heaven. Amen? All right.
Days, I'm going to mess up, or somebody's going to mess up, you have this. And Jesse's going to say, I told you so.
Okay. Both Pastor Gay and myself are sitting here, and we're going, okay, I really believe that this is a word that requires a response. Okay. And I'm sure that you are probably feeling that in your heart. We do not even realize the potential that we have in the Lord. And that's what he's talking about today, is really potential. Because until we're really clothed in this armor of God, until we're really living our lives as Christians as we're designed to live, then we're gonna struggle. We're going to always be stumbling over ourselves, each other. We're going to be fighting each other. We're going to be battling in our own minds over stupid things. And so this is really about the core of who we are. See, it's about a king and a kingdom. It's not about a church. It's not about a staff and, you know, funding a building. It's about a king and a kingdom. And a kingdom, there's warriors. And guess what? You're all warriors. You are all called to be more than you think you are. I'm called to be more than I think I am. So I'm right up here with you. But we need the whole armor of God. Because how many of you have battled the enemy this week, if you're going to be honest? In your mind, if nothing else. Maybe you've battled the enemy you thought your next door neighbor or somebody at work. Or maybe it was your wife or your husband. And you thought they were your enemy. No, they're not. And the devil, we have a little tiny dog. Her name's Missy. And she will just make me laugh. Because she will think her tail at moments is the enemy. And she will chase it. I mean, and she's growling like she wants to tear it apart. Then she grabs it and chews on it a little bit and says, wait a minute, that's not right. And we do that. We chase and chase and chase. We start chewing. Wait, this isn't right. But then we've caused the damage. You know, she's got, you know, wounds. Who knows? My point being is that we need to stand in God. That's what he says above all at the end of that stand. And you can't stand if you're weak. You can't stand if you're anemic and you don't have the life flow of God going through you. And you know what? I've said this many times. I know Pastor Josh would say it. The whole staff would say it. We don't want to play church. We don't know if we have tomorrow. We don't know what the future holds in store with our economy, with disasters. We don't know. So today may be the day that we're to be fortified in God and stand for something tomorrow that may be time-changing. So I'm going to stand here with you, and we're just going to simply come up here and say, Lord, show us how to be who you want us to be, how to have a helmet of salvation, how to have my truth wrapped around me like a belt, your truth wrapped around. It's our truth, though. The word is our truth. It's given to us. The truth of God wrapped around us like a belt, supporting us. Righteousness covering our heart. That we don't do things out of our own greed and anger and resentment. We do it out of love. And the gospel of peace on our feet. And then that we could wield God's word like a sword. That it would literally go in the places that are the dark caverns of the enemy. And we could do mighty exploits for God. Just chop off the head of the enemy in someone's family. Just literally decapitate him. He has no authority. He falls and that family's restored. Love is restored. Graciousness of God is imparted to their lives. And they're transformed. See, this word that he's saying is a powerful word. We have a battle ahead of us. And if we don't realize that we need to be fortified 100% in God. And that it is not only necessary, but it's a God-given right. See, God doesn't just say, well, here's some stuff, you know, take it if you need it. No, he's saying, I've laid down my life. I took this cross so that you could become a warrior in my kingdom. Now, some of you say, well, I don't feel like a warrior. Doesn't matter. You still are one. You're still a warrior. And we need the full armor of God. And we need to quit fighting each other. We need to quit fighting other churches. We need to quit fighting our neighbors and start living love. Because when we're in the full armor of God, you know what it means? You have a vessel of love. You say, well, it sounds like you got somebody's going to do some damage, maybe for the kingdom of darkness, but for God's kingdom, it's a compassionate, because Christ was the full armor of God. You look at Jesus, you look at the full armor of God. If you're being stirred like I am, just come up and let's just take a moment and let's just do some business with God. I'm going to turn off the microphone and just realize that we're in a new day, that we can't play church anymore. We can't just you know, buy our time for maybe up the road I'm going to get right with God, or maybe up the road I'm going to become who God's called me to be. No, today is our day. Now is the time for us to take what God has so powerfully purchased for us, and that's His very life. I just want to encourage everyone else. I know there's individuals that have come up. There's ones that have thought about it, but maybe haven't. But I just want to encourage you that this week, there's an old saying that I heard as I was a kid and growing up, but honesty is the best policy. Be honest with God. Just start telling Him your weaknesses. Start letting the Lord know your shortcomings. And you're saying, well, He knows them already. Why do I have to say them? Because you saying them releases you from them. You saying them gives opportunity for God to change those weaknesses. Maybe it's an anger habit. I believe there's somebody in here today that has a severe anger habit. It's a pattern. It just keeps going over and over and over again. You just need to be honest with God and say, Lord, I have this anger problem, and You've shown it to me, Holy Spirit, and I don't want it anymore. You know what? He's going to move in that, and He's going to bring deliverance. He's going to set you free. He's going to set those free that are unfortunately the ones who receive your anger problem. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I just want to take this time and pray right now. The sister of Kathleen Gumbelson, she's at the point of going to be with the Lord. But I serve a mighty God. And I'm going to continue to believe God for those things that are unseen. Because the things that we see are temporal. So Lord, right now we pray that Your hand would be upon Catherine, God, where she is. Lord, that she, God, would sense Your presence even now, God. And Lord, as it looks in the natural, Lord, that her body's literally decaying away, God, we know that her spirit's being renewed from glory to glory. So God, right now we pray that the kingdom of God that's inside of her would come alive, Lord, and even reverse, God, what is happening in the natural, Lord. We know that in Your kingdom, God, there is no sickness, there is no disease, God. And Lord, we just believe, God, that You're doing supernatural things in our day, Lord. So we ask You, God, to supernaturally do a miracle in Catherine's life, Lord. Let faith arise in her heart, God. We don't look at the things that are seen. We look at the things that are unseen, God. And we know that You can do above and beyond, Lord, all we ask or think, Lord. So we touch Your servant, Lord. Touch Your servant, God, right now in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for this day, God. Lord, let this day, God, be a building block, Lord, in our life with You. God, I pray that this week, Lord, we would live for You. We would serve You, God. We would live, move, and have our very being in You. In Jesus' name, amen.